Welcome to Share the Best, the podcast of Top Employers Institute. My name is Patrick Rendel. I'm the regional manager for Central Europe at Top Employers Institute. And in this podcast, I have the honor to talk to our top employers about their world of work. Today, my guest is Henriette. She is Director of Global Employer Branding and Talent Acquisition at Stada. Hello, Henriette.
Hello, Patrick.
Very nice to have you here. And just to start off with that, I'm also happy that it's 10:39 because you told me that 2-3 hours after you wake up, talking is not really your favorite sport. Maybe you can give us a bit intro into you, but maybe start with where this not really morning glory comes from.
It's a so-so morning glory. So welcome, everyone. I'm Henriette. Very happy to be here. I am 40 years old. I have two little kids, and this is where the morning glory comes from, because when I'm lucky, they sleep longer than I do. So when I get up early in the morning, this is the time that I have for myself. But yeah, as you said, I don't like to speak to anyone during that time because it's my me time that I have at the day.
Oh, and I'm looking forward to that time because my kids are 2 and 4, turning 5 in a minute, and there's not much time in the morning that I have at the moment. Maybe if I wake up at 4, maybe then there's kind of 2 hours left. So looking forward to that, them sleeping in a bit more. Henriette, you are currently working for Stada, as I mentioned, but maybe you can give us a bit of a background. Where do you come from professionally? How did you get here? And obviously, it's because Stada is a top employer in Europe. That must have been the main reason, but maybe you can give us a bit more background on what your journey has been and how you came to be here and in this podcast today.
Yeah, more than happy to do so. And yes, main reason is top employer, but there are others as well. Now, I studied actually business administration, and I never thought about ending up in HR or culture and people, as we call it at Stada. So I focused a lot on marketing. So I think I'm the only person that is still watching ads. Also, I'm not clicking after 3 seconds, but sometimes I really want to understand how they are. So I really have a passion for marketing and communication. And my dream was always to end up as a brand manager for a large FMCG brand that is worldwide known. But it didn't happen. So after I graduated, I actually was on track. I started my career as a junior brand manager at Lindt & Sprüngli. So everyone who's a chocolate lover knows them. So they have the gold bunnies. And then due to personal reasons, I wanted to move back from Austria, where I started, back to Germany. And eventually I ended up at PwC. They were looking for someone who really has that target group lenses and who wants to introduce a candidate relationship management system. So they actually were looking for someone with marketing background who then can start in recruitment and recruitment marketing. And I said, yes, that's a great opportunity. And this is how I ended up in employer branding, recruitment marketing. And from the first day, I was excited. It was pretty new at that time. I'm doing this for over 12 years now. And when I said I work in employer branding in the beginning, people were like, what's that? Yeah. And now everybody is speaking about that. So that's pretty cool. And I stuck to it. Moved from PwC then to Merck, which is also a large science and technology company. Were able to build up the employer branding team there. And yeah, after quite some time, it was time for a change. And Stada called me and asked me, do you want to do the same for Stada? And I said, yes, of course. And in employer branding, you have to buy into the corporate culture because this is what you sell. So I always say I went from early in my career selling chocolate to now selling jobs. And this is also what's actually it's exciting me about it, because I think selling a company culture or a job is much more complex at the end than a product, because it's so different. It's not really tangible. And this is exactly what I love about doing it. And now I'm more than happy to work for a company that's placing so much effort and emphasis on their culture.
Thank you for the story and interesting connection as well, because I also come from a marketing background. I did the geography before, but I absolutely agree with you when it comes to kind of the positioning of something that is so unique in a sense that really has this core, but this core translates to, if you have 40,000 employees, it translates to 40,000 realities and 40,000 stories to be told. So absolutely a big challenge to position that, and I'm very happy to, let's say, use today to go a bit deeper in that and also see your lens. Because as you mentioned, you're recently, you joined, I think it's already a year now, so it's not almost that recent anymore. So you have a good view inside, but also still that outsider lens, which I think makes it quite interesting to dive into our topic. Because we're talking about Stada, obviously, today, and we're talking about their unique culture that drives Stada's performance. So also there, kind of the connection of something that is quite intangible, like the culture, and how do you support the business, you support leadership to make sure that is supporting the company performance. I'm very much looking forward to that conversation. And to set the scene, what would be great if you could give us a quick overview on what is Stada, because it's a brand that most of the listeners will know. But of course, to put kind of everything that comes in perspective is also interesting to see kind of what's the span, how is HR set up? Maybe you can give us a quick overview on that.
Yeah, so Stada is headquartered in Germany. It's a healthcare company and its purpose is caring for people's health as a trusted partner. And basically our strategy actually has three pillars. So we have our generics business, that's where we're coming from. Mm-hmm. Then we have a specialty pharmaceuticals. And we have what you call non-prescription consumer health, so mm-hmm. CHC, or put differently, OTC, so over-the-counter, so all of the products that you go to the pharmacy and purchase. So this is our business. Mm-hmm. We have roughly 11,700 employees globally in 47 countries, so a lot of numbers. But when I joined, so we have three big regions. One is Western Europe, then we have Eastern Europe and emerging markets, and our culture and people organization is it's a typical matrix organization where we are set up around our three business pillars and our three large regions. And I think what I personally like about Stada is actually that we are diversified, and with that we have so many different nationalities, cultures around, but also with the three business pillar, it never gets boring because they are quite different to each other. And this is what I really like about it. And it also, when I heard colleagues saying, because I'm new to the company, but who are there for a longer time, that it was quite German a few years ago. But because you asked about internationality and how international we are, if I now walk around the office, I hear plenty of different languages. Mm-hmm. We have many colleagues coming out of Eastern Europe. So Serbia, for example, is one of our big countries, but also UK, for example. So really, 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 truly international.
Nice. And you, from an HR perspective, you are working across those BUs.
Yes. So there we have a typical COE organization, and I'm leading the global talent acquisition and employer branding team. So I'm responsible and working closely together for rolling out, our global initiatives into the countries. But there we have in each country, we have culture and people, either large teams or representatives. Mm-hmm. And I think this is also something you need to know about Stada. We see locality as an asset. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we believe that it's important that we give the countries responsibility. So it's not like in most other companies where you have a strong global team and they say what you have to do in a country. But no, we believe that, self-empowerment is super important for us. Yeah. And this is also true for every country. And I think this is also what makes it interesting for me, because I get so much back out of the countries every day, because they have great ideas, they have great energy, they know their talents, they know their markets. And with that also comes business proximity.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
Yeah. Culture and people colleagues are super close to the business and not like a standalone something that is working in the background. But everything we do in culture and people needs to have a business impact. And I think, unlike any other company before at Stada, this is something which I really value and where I feel it's also one of the strengths that the company has.
Do you have an idea where this comes from? Because you could imagine that in theory, all organizations would have the same challenge. Do you have a guess or a feeling where this comes from historically? Is there something why this is the case?
I think it's actually mirroring our business strategy. Mm-hmm. So when you look at how a startup operates compared to other pharma companies, you see that we are not having huge global brands. Mm-hmm. But we believe that buying local brands and then in the background, you know, having synergy effects on supply chain production, this is or has been key to success and to our company growth in the past. And with that, it was obvious for us that being so local, being also entrepreneurial at a local level was key to our business success. And with that, it's super obvious that we also have to do that, you know, in culture and people, be very local, but at the same time have a strong global backbone that is there to support, to guide, to consult.
Very nice. Yeah, and I think it aligns very well, especially if you look at culture, where, of course, your company is kind of a cross-country, cross-culture, cross-region thing that is there, that has common beliefs, that has common kind of framework, but still the countries and the people within the different cultures might have very different expectations, different set of rules, values that are connected to where they are based and what they've learned and what they have lived. So I think it's a great bridge to the culture, because what we want to talk about, of course, is what it is, how it is set up. But maybe if we start with this international framework, how does it then work to have a culture across those very conscious, localized teams?
Yeah. So when we speak about, I mean, we have, yes, the culture of the country, but then we have our corporate growth culture, mm-hmm. as we call it. And this is something where we are bit actually moving away from this local strategy, because we believe this is something that we need across all regions in any entity. So we are really connected by culture, and every tiny piece we do needs to be related to our culture. And one of the core pillars, and it's even one of the, we have five strategic priorities mm-hmm. that are very, very consistent. And one of them is what we call growth culture. And what is growth culture? So you might have heard or come across what's called growth mindset. Mm-hmm. So this is, growth mindset versus fixed mindset, where you have people that are constantly willing to grow, that learn from mistakes, that go the extra mile. And this is something where we believe as a company is critical mm-hmm. to the success of the business. So if we have people with a growth mindset in our company, we generate what we call a growth culture. Mm-hmm. And this growth culture at the end helps us to bring our purpose to life. And there we are actually very, very strict. And within that culture, we have identified four values. Mm-hmm. And I know that those have been also generated and identified together with employees. And once they have been defined, they are there. Yeah. And when I joined, I was like, I mean, I looked at the website, you know, how it is when you are in a recruiting process. And I came across the four values. Mm-hmm. And obviously, working in employer branding and talent acquisition, I needed to discuss that during the interviews.
Yeah.
And then I said, yes, everything we do is based on our values. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, yes, mm-hmm. they're telling mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I joined. And the first idea that I had, I received a question. So how is it based on the values? How is it connected? So every
really
initiative,
needed.
Initiative that I want to do needs to be based either on the values, needs to play into and contribute to the growth culture or to our purpose.
Yeah.
And I think by being, in a sense, there very rigorous, it gives our employees, and this is also one of our values, one starter sense. And it gives them consistency, and it's super, super nice in a way also for me to work in a global COE, because it also gives me a lot of guidance. But it really also helps in the end to give direction. And I feel really that this leads to the business success.
And you need that common anchor, right? You need something to agree on across countries, something that is kind of bringing different perspectives into one direction.
Yeah.
I want to dive into, because it's of course, like you said, you read that, you see the values, and then it's always critical, how are they lived? How is it actually having an impact on day-to-day decisions? And you shared your own experience already. Before we go into that, because in the end, I guess the key to successful impact is it being lived, and we talk about a few initiatives in a second. But if we could just take one step back for a moment and say, okay, so let's look at that culture again. You talked about four values. Maybe you can just briefly take us through those four values so that we have a kind of a common starting point when we talk about impact and implementation.
Yeah. So the four values are, the first one is integrity, which obviously for a pharma company is super important. Yeah. And there we say, we do the right thing even when no one is watching. Yeah. This is for us crucial. It's about trust. Compliance, yeah, obviously super important. Speak up culture. Then the next one is agility. Mm-hmm. And there we say, we grow from change and challenges. And I think it's this open-mindedness that you need to bring. We constantly live in change. So super important. Then it's one starter, leverage the power of the team. And this is a bit historically, yeah, we come from a German, very decentralized, very many silos. So it's super important for us that we feel as one team. And for me, it became true during my onboarding, because at Stada, when you ask someone, the doors are always open. Yeah, for every stupid question in my onboarding that I asked, I received an answer. People took time to help me. So this is the one Stada. And then the last one is entrepreneurship, dream big and make it happen. And to me, this is the one that got me most exciting, yeah, because I felt, how does it come that entrepreneurship can be one of the values for pharma?
Yeah.
But when I joined it, it was super obvious. It's not about this innovative piece. It's about really thinking as an entrepreneur, and always, no matter in what position you are, think about, how can I contribute to the growth? And what do I have as ideas, as changes in my mind that really generate business impact? And I loved it, because obviously it's also super unique compared to many, many other pharma companies to have that as one of the values.
Thank you for taking us through those, and especially entrepreneurship. I think that's where, and we have talked about values, value propositions with many companies, it always comes down to, okay, so you're saying this now, and then kind of 3 months later, there's a local kind of person coming up with something that's connected to the values, but it's maybe kind of a risk for the business. It's something kind of a tryout that also can go wrong. And I think this, I absolutely agree with you, having entrepreneurship there is enabling employees to say, okay, but this is what we should do, right? This is, we are part of the organization. We want to bring it forward. So I'm an entrepreneur here. Support me. And then it comes down to leadership actually accepting and agreeing and, how do you say, supporting that, even if it's something new, if it's a change. And I think the key here is then the implementation. So to make sure that those values are not only understood, but also lived. And I think we're going to talk about a few of those initiatives that are bringing that to life. So if you think about that on your own, you had this experience yourself, but how do you, maybe together with other parts of HR, make sure that leaders are in line with this, that these values are lived, that it's more than just that leaflet that is sometimes written?
So I think, first of all, it is one of our business priorities, growth culture. So to having that, I think this is also something, because I've seen also other companies, you know, that put people on the agenda. But it's something different than having it as a strategic priority.
Yeah.
And with that, it was a very conscious choice by our top leaders, including our CEO, to make it a priority and a strategic priority. So I think that is, you touched upon it. Yeah, you need to have the buy-in, and this is what we have. So in every town hall, in every large communication towards employees, our growth culture is highlighted by our CEO. So also something, you know, which,
absolutely,
which is like, sounds simple, but it's repeated all over again. And with that, it becomes a reality. It's like of if you want to do a mindset shift, you know, you repeat it to yourself. Like, I don't know if you're into meditation or other self-relaxing methodologies, but if you say something to yourself over and over again, you start to buy into it. And this is what our CEO and our top leaders do. So they have totally bought into it. And every new hire, we assess that talent according to our values. Mm-hmm. So if you want to join us, you need to
be... You better have a growth mindset.
That's for sure. Yeah. But you also need to be buying into our values and living them. Yeah. So this is the first step. So basically, and you can be as unique as you want to be, but this is something, you know, where we really say it's super important for us. So we need people who buy into that. So I think that's really the first step. And then the second one that you mentioned, what I also said, every initiative is basically based upon that. So let me give you one example for entrepreneurship. Yeah, you could say like, how do you do that? And there we have what we call the Startup Plus initiative. Yeah, be the plus, add something to your daily life. And it's not idea management, but it's really, I always say it's a bit like being an intrapreneur, but not this traditional startup. So it's a business case generation initiative. Yeah. So as an employee, you can really create a business case and not where you say, we are using too much toilet paper. We need to buy the cheaper one. This is not what we want, but we really want to have true business cases that have a financial impact. And you can hand those business cases in and then you implement them. So it's also not just a collection of ideas, but it's really, we encourage everyone to create their own Startup Plus cases and then put also those cases into action to further growth. And it could be, for example, I mean, I work in culture and people, talent acquisition, but my Startup Plus case could be about creating a new product for our CHC product line. If I feel, and one of our large brands, for example, is Elotrans. Mm-hmm. I have an idea about a product extension. This could be my personal Startup Plus case.
Okay.
And this is, I think, you know, this is the mindset that we want, is to think beyond your current day-to-day job. What could help startup grow?
Yeah.
And then you get, you even if you have generated a business case, a bit like in a Shark Tank, you actually get also the investment. Yeah. And you also get time to implement it. And I think this is also nice because it's not, as I said, not this typical idea generation and then
some of
you have an Excel file and then you get a handshake. Yeah. No, but it's really about also growing the company, but also growing yourself, learning. And of course, we support from a culture and people perspective. We have finance for non-finance trainings, all of that, how to present. Yeah, we are really also, I think, bringing people on a growth journey with that.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's like you said, it's bringing the business priority to everyone and to making them aware, yes, we are in a multi-country organization, 11,000 plus employees, but you are part of this. You can have an impact. And it just kind of turning that around, because I know that there's a lot of HR colleagues now listening and I can hear them ask, so, but who is then doing their real job? Like if I'm having a great idea, then I pitch that and then suddenly I'm gone because I'm focusing on that idea. And then my manager's like, okay, so how do I fill the gap? Can you just, because we always try to translate into very practical things too, because we have listeners, different sizes of companies. So if they want to implement this, can you just give maybe 2-3 practical aspects of this idea? How do you make sure this is accepted, this is started, and this is successful?
So again, here we have full buy-in from our leaders. So if you have a Startup Plus case and it turns out that it needs quite some time, you either talk to your manager and they free you up, and then we talk about allocation of current workload and priorities. But I also just recently had the request to hire someone, because we felt this initiative is so important that we wanted to invest further. And this is where I said you get actually the resources. Yeah. So if the company and the top leaders believe you know, we have a system where we, mm-hmm. we fill out a template, which is really like a pitch deck yeah. at the end. Yeah.
yeah.
And you handed this pitch deck. And if it's so convincing, a startup puts everything behind that this is brought to life. Of course, if top leaders don't feel, yeah, mm-hmm. it will lead to an yeah. ROI, yes, then of course, we also critically discuss with the yeah. employee, is that really necessary? But if we believe this is driving growth, driving business, yes, you get the resources. As I said, we look if, nice. If I don't know, if we hire an intern or how we actually can manage the situation. Yeah. yeah.
It's also about commitment, kind of like we do this. Yeah. So when there's something that is really business critical, then of course that's assessed as well, right? It's not that just yeah. every idea is going to be pushed
yeah.
through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking
but
at
Patrick, to maybe yeah. to comment it, but go yes, ahead. to be very honest here also in a sense, yeah, of course, it's also people do it on top, yeah, of their yeah, daily yeah. work. But I also think that's what we call the one starter spirit then at the end, yeah, and that's one starter, one of the other values that we have where we believe, yes, I love my job and I feel the idea is so cool. So we see really people being super engaged.
Yeah. yeah. I can imagine. And if it's your idea, that's of course coming back in the whole part about yeah. and being the entrepreneur and pushing forward what you think is really adding value and having an impact, not just on your team, but on the yeah. overall company. When we talk about culture, and I know we talked about it briefly in the conversation before, is that it's of course also about kind of how do you assess and management and performance? And then if culture comes in, you mentioned something about a culture scorecard. So I think I just looking at the time, I also wanted to get this idea sketched out because it is quite an interesting concept. So if you could kind of talk a bit about this one as well.
Yeah. And to start, I have to let all the listeners know that Stada is a private equity owned company.
Mm-hmm.
So that means, of course, our owners have a strong interest that we grow.
Yeah.
And as a consequence, we are very data and KPI heavy. Mm-hmm. So we thought, how can we also make our culture, growth culture, tangible? How can we? So it was basically like a natural evaluation and evolvement to also say we want to introduce what we call culture performance indicators,
mm-hmm.
so CPIs, as we have our financial KPIs, and to also make those soft topics quantifiable.
Mm-hmm.
So each year we actually measure our culture in people, but also company-wide initiatives. And we print those on a scorecard. Yeah, we print those, we have them ready. And this is what we then also present back, for example, to our investors as we do it with all other KPIs. And for example, we just talked about Startup Plus.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at entrepreneurship as one of our values, the number of Startup Plus cases that have been generated, but also implemented is one of the cultural performance indicators mm-hmm. that we measure regularly to really assess, are people still taking part in this initiative? What is the impact that it generates for the business? So, and this is then what we are bringing together as a culture scorecard. And I think this is, it's not easy to measure things. Yeah. And it's always challenging to find it, but it goes back, you know, to what I said initially, that everything is embedded and starts with the culture. So of course, yes, we need to track how does it then impact the culture. And maybe to give you a few more examples, yeah, it's Startup Plus cases, but we also look, of course, we have a pulse survey. Yeah, mm-hmm. this is how we call our engagement survey.
Yeah.
There, of course, we look at our value one Stada, we look at the score, how proud are people to work for Stada? This is, yeah, and also, I mean, top employer is obviously also something yeah. that we have in our scorecard because this is also like really shows the work we put in. So
Absolutely.
Multiple initiatives that we bring together, also business related ones. Mm-hmm. So for example, we also look at the number of product launches, mm-hmm. because we feel this is assessing agility, which is also one of our values. The quicker we go to the market, the better it is. So as you see,
And that's then assessed on regional level, or is that one global scorecard?
Yeah, it's a global one and it's assessed yearly.
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you for sharing that. Looking at the time, Henriette, the time is flying when you're having fun, they say. And I think this is a good conversation. So I just want to round off the content part, just looking back at the whole topic. And I think the baseline here is that you have been very successful in making and bringing those values alive, because writing down values and adding a definition is one thing. And then putting them on nice leaflets is also nice. But then kind of making sure that what you shared in the beginning, that it's actually becoming a natural part of a conversation, is next level. That's kind of where you want to go. And so if you think about people listening today, they're on the beginning, they know they have those values that should be updated maybe. And they're thinking about how to get this going. What would be your 1-2 tips? Where should you start to make sure this is going to be a success eventually? Because obviously it's going to take time. But what would be your guiding tip?
I have 2 tips.
Yeah.
First one is simple. Just do it. Mm-hmm. Because I think this is also one of the success factors. We just do it. Yeah. We just start things. And the second one is be consistent. So every time we don't stick to our values, we feel that things go wrong. Yeah. So, be in a sense, they're also very rigorous. So those would be my 2 tips.
Thank
you. Don't think too much. Start. And the second one, be consistent and
continue.
Yeah. Continuous. Yeah. 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 Doing it.
Thank you, Henriette. Thanks for those 2 tips at the end. We are already at the end of our content part. Thank you for sharing all those insights. And as you know, when you're listening, but as you also might know, Henriette, we always end with a bit of a personal piece, a couple of quick questions and quick answers. In German, it's Fragenhagel. Maybe you've heard of it as well. So there's a few coming your way. Looking forward to your answers. As you worked for Lindt way back, and you mentioned that you eat a piece of chocolate every day, what's your favorite?
It's the Lindor Kugel. Milch.
All right.
Okay. Milk. So, yeah, always in the fridge.
Always in the fridge. Always a piece a day, or is it is it more? Depends on the day.
That stays a secret.
Okay. Your favorite TV show?
Ooh. Now it becomes, I have to say, I watched, except for the last one, and you know that I'm into trash TV, all Germany's Next Top Model season.
Okay.
At the end, it's not longer my favorite, but yeah, it's a consistency in my life.
What happened? What is wrong with the last one?
I think I just became too old.
Okay. All right. Then you also told me about that you switched from marathon to swimming and talked about or sent me some notes about you swimming through the Bodensee at a certain point. But what would be your favorite swimming location if you could choose to jump into?
Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Why Hawaii? Why?
Because that we have been there, and mm-hmm. there is, you know, it's a part of the 7 crossings that you can do as a swimmer. Mm-hmm. You know, if you know that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's like the major marathon, so it's the same for swimming.
Okay.
And just the water quality and all the whales and turtles and everything. I mean, I think it's just
All right.
Just amazing.
So for everyone to note down, if you want to swim in an amazing place, it's going to be Hawaii. And then the last one, going a bit back to the topic, is there something that you want to unlearn?
Yeah. Creating content the traditional way.
All right.
You know, because in marketing, I did a lot of, it's all about content creation mm-hmm. and so on. And I think I want to unlearn to start in my brain with the traditional briefing, scripting, texting, given all of the technology that we have around, I think this is something I need to unlearn to stay ahead.
That's good. That's a good, also maybe connecting even to the agility part in your values. So a good learning journey to be on. Thank you very much, Henriette. Thanks for those honest and fun answers. Very, very good to get a full picture for everyone listening today. And as always, there's a final moment for you to end this podcast with a last statement from your side.
Yeah. So I'm ending actually with our new promise, which is grow your own way. And when you in the future join Stada, yeah, you can grow your own way. And I think it's also, you see how every initiative is embedded into our culture and into our growth mindset. And this is my ending.
Perfect. Perfect ending from a marketing professional. I think that is a perfect full picture of this episode. Thanks, Henriette, again for being here today, for joining us in the Share the Best podcast. And thank you, everyone, for listening wherever you are. Looking forward to hear us again and have a good day, everyone. Bye-bye.